you know, this has not been a great season for the Bay Stars. They're in fifth place overall. They're not doing that well in Interleague either, where they where they are kind of struggling. But the one bright spot for them has been the play of their young infielder, Shugo Maki, who's in his second season with the club. He's got 15 homers. That's third behind the previously mentioned Okamoto and Murakami of Yakult. He's also batting .323, which is first in the Central League. And he's got 46 RBIs, which is also first. So this guy's having a spectacular season. And it really is a lone bright spot for the Bay Stars.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Japan Forward's Sports Talk. We're using Twitter Spaces for live audience around the world. And we have a special guest tonight, Jim Armstrong, a veteran baseball reporter, veteran sports reporter at large, to discuss the current MPB season, Japanese baseball. How's it going, Jim?
It's going good, Ed. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. Just relaxing a bit, enjoying some iced tea and highlights from the games earlier.
Yeah, it's been a lot of excitement so far.
Yeah, I can't disagree. And, you know, the season's already in its fourth month now after starting in late March. And this time of year, it's the interleague season, I should say. And, you know, teams get a chance to play against each other that they don't see them most of the year. But the current time of year, they devote, what, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks to interleague play.
Right. That's right.
It's different than the way it's done in the majors. Do you prefer this method of everything at once or like the MLB schedule where they sort of sprinkle it out throughout the year?
Well, I like the way they do it here in Japan. They do, as you said, they do 3 weeks of interleague play. And, you know, one of the exciting things about here in Japan is there's always one team, or sometimes more than one team, but there's always at least one team that's really able to turn things around. And through the interleague play, they're able to improve vastly over what they were doing before. And the case in point this year is the Hanshin Tigers. I mean, they were really struggling before interleague. They were in last place in the Central League standings. Things were just terrible down in Koshien, but they're 8-4 now in interleague play. They just swept the Nippon Ham Fighters. They're second overall in the interleague standings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're still last in the Central League standings, but this could be something that helps turn their season around. And as we were saying earlier, there's still a lot of time left. And the Hanshin Tigers could use this interleague season to turn their season around.
I think what we've seen some of the years, not every year, but you're right. A certain one or two teams get hot, and it can be a catalyst for them to sort of maybe jumpstart their hopes to be in the pennant chase.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, this could be the case with Hanshin. For them to play this well against Pacific League teams is got to be a huge confidence boost for them, because the Pacific League generally is regarded as the stronger league right now, especially when it comes to interleague play. So the Giants and their fans have to be breathing a lot easier right now.
Well, let's switch topics a little bit, actually connected to the Giants. They had a big win on Friday night. One reason was they were facing Roki Sasaki, who had been undefeated entering that game for this year. And, you know, they tagged him for 5 runs, 8 hits in 5 innings. I believe it was 3 home runs he allowed. And they won 10-3. So they probably felt pretty good about themselves after sending him out of the game a little bit early.
Yeah, it was the Giants, of course, have been having a great season so far. They've got Kazuma Okamoto, who is tied for the league lead in home runs with 16. They've got a great closer in Taisei Ota, who's already got 20 saves as a rookie, and he's got 30 strikeouts, so he's having a great season. And the Giants are playing well, and beating Sasaki must have been a lot of fun for them. And it was kind of surprising to see Sasaki knocked around like that.
You know, he's been so dynamic this year with, of course, the perfect game and then 8 consecutive perfect innings the next game. You know, and the attention that has brought around the world that he's received, incredible. But I think personally that for him to get shelled like that, you know, 5 runs and 5 innings is not something to brag about. It's actually good for him at this stage of his career and this stage of the season. You know, everybody has to lose at least a few games here and there, and it could help his mental development, is in addition to how he bounces back physically in the next start.
Yeah, I mean, he's a young kid. He's only 20 years old. He's obviously not going to go out there and throw a perfect game every time. I'm sure losing to the Giants on a Friday night wasn't exactly the greatest thing that he would have wanted, but he'll bounce back, and he's got a lot of potential ahead of him.
You know, the last time we did this Twitter Spaces podcast, you and I together, it was actually we were wrapped up in preparing for discussion about Nippon Ham Fighters and Big Boss Tsuyoshi Shinjo a little bit. And we actually didn't discuss the perfect game. So it was happening right that it ended a couple hours before we went on the air, virtual air live. And the attention that perfect game brought to him was remarkable. And the coverage in, you know, like CNN, BBC, ABC in the United States, ESPN, every Japanese media outlet. Well, but since then, there's been a lot of media coverage of him. A lot of coverage of every one of his starts. And I'm wondering, do you, in your recollection, you know, in recent years, the last decade or so, has there been a young Japanese athlete whose media coverage that he's received, him or her, is comparable to what Sasaki's getting now?
Yeah, it was incredible coverage. I think even the Guardian out of London might have done a story on Sasaki, which is pretty impressive. When a paper in Great Britain covers a Japanese baseball player, you know you've done something special.
Yeah.
So it was incredible. And the only thing I can compare it to in recent memory maybe is the golfer Ryo Ishikawa. When he first burst on the scene, there was incredible media coverage of him. You know, they practically anointed him Masters champion. Of course, his career didn't quite live up to those expectations. And sometimes I wonder about, you know, the pressure that is put on these young athletes. And I don't know if you remember, but after Sasaki threw his perfect game, and then the game after that, a week later, he almost threw another perfect game. After that, he took some time off. And the team said he was... he needed some extra rest. And I just wonder if all the attention and all the media focus might have got to him a bit.
I think it probably did. And again, yeah, he is only 20 years old. So I think it's better not to, if a player feels they need rest or the coach thinks he needs rest or the manager, I think it might be wise to do so after, yeah, until they have a few more full seasons in the league, and you can sort of see what their measuring stick is for stamina, how many innings they can pitch effectively, how many starts. He's still very new to the game. So, yeah, I think probably they're doing the right thing with him.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, Lotte has a good manager in Tadahito Iguchi, who played here and in the major leagues, you know, so he knows he would know all about how to handle a young player and not to push him too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's in good hands with Iguchi, and I think they'll be very careful with him. You know, Iguchi did take him out after eight innings in that second game where he almost threw a perfect game, much to the surprise of many people. But
definitely.
Clearly, they've got they're being cautious with him.
You know, through Friday, it's a nice round number that he has 100 strikeouts, which leads Japanese baseball, and he's only allowed 9 walks in 66 innings. So there you go.
Yeah, and remember, this is a guy who really this is his first. I mean, he only pitched in 11 games last year. So this is probably his first full season.
Yeah.
And he's off to a 5-1 start with a 1.77 ERA. So, I mean, he's doing very well.
Looks to me like he's going to be given a shot to play in the All-Star game, All-Star series in a couple months.
Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Some players over the years haven't been too enthusiastic on those All-Star games because they don't really count. Well, mm-hmm. They don't count. But I think it'd be good for him to appear in those games.
Yeah, I think early in his career, the exposure is good for his, for the team's fan base, and even just for him to be exposed to players on other teams, the interaction and just the camaraderie. I think that's good when you're a special player to have that opportunity.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Okay. Well, there's a couple other players I wanted to mention, and then we'll sort of circle back to them each one by one. You briefly mentioned Taisei Ota, the closer of the Giants. I want to talk about him a bit more. And Bay Stars second baseman Shugo Maki, Fighters outfielder Go Matsumoto.
Okay, well, let's start off with Maki then.
All right.
You know, this has not been a great season for the Bay Stars. They're in fifth place overall. They're not doing that well in Interleague either, where they... where they are kind of struggling. But the one bright spot for them has been the play of their young infielder, Shugo Maki, who's in his second season with the club. He's got 15 homers. That's third behind the previously mentioned Okamoto and Munetaka Murakami of Yakult. He's also batting .323, which is first in the Central League. And he's got 46 RBIs, which is also first. So this guy's having a spectacular season, and it really is a lone bright spot for the Bay Stars.
You know, he's only in his second season in the league, and he batted .314 last year as a rookie. He's 24 years old now, and on let's just look to what he did on Saturday, for example. He had a 3-run home run, drove in 5 runs. In a 6-1 win over the Eagles, Rakuten Eagles. So he showed he can carry the offense. I've not watched him enough to really give a real authoritative opinion on his defense, but his bat is certainly keeping him in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best hitters right now in the Central League, and the sky's the limit for this guy. He's really impressed, and as I said, it's a nice... story for Yokohama. They could use a little good news there.
Absolutely. And sometimes you can build your team around young stars and, you know, add a few veterans and you got really a formidable combination.
Yeah. And that's what they need. They need, you know, they lost Tsutsugo went to the majors. They really need a big hitter like Maki to build around, and hopefully he's the guy.
Mm-hmm. Real quickly, you talked about Ota's saves a couple minutes ago and the fact that as a rookie, you know, he's been very productive for the Giants. One thing that I've noticed is when he enters the game, he just looks like a guy who has the mental makeup of a closer. He looks really poised entering the game, starting that inning. And then, you know, just batter after batter, he looks pretty serious, which is what you want.
Yeah. I mean, he's been spectacular for the Giants. And I'd say he's one of the main reasons why they're a second in the Central League standings. And, you know, finding a closer is not always the easiest thing for teams. The Giants have kind of struggled in past years finding someone who can come in and nail down those last three outs.
Yeah.
So having someone like Ota can really boost their chances for going all the way.
For listeners who will hear this, podcast today or next week or next month, one thing that Jim has been doing every couple of weeks is an MPB notebook, highlighting various aspects of the season, different players, different trends, news items, analysis items. And one thing you had, Jim, in your notebook this past weekend, or this weekend, I should say, is you highlighted another closer, not a guy who's 20 or 22 years old, but a very established veteran in Yoshihisa Hirano of the Oryx Buffaloes, a guy who spent most of his career for about a decade and a half with the team and picked up his 200th save in MPB the other day.
Yeah, that's right. It was a great milestone for him. He's been around a long time. It was also his 15th save of the season, which was tops in the Pacific League. And he became the seventh pitcher in the history of NPB to record 200 saves. This is a guy who began his career as a starter. He's been with the Buffaloes since 2006. And his best season as a reliever came in 2014 when he had 40 saves. So this is a solid relief pitcher, solid closer. He did spend a couple of years in the major leagues with rather modest results. So I think, you know, he's probably happy to be back in Japan. He pitched for the Arizona Diamondbacks in 2018 and 2019. That's a team you'll be familiar with.
I attended some games their inaugural season, and a friend of mine, he became the scoreboard animation aspect of the scoreboard. You know, like when you see like the hands clapping and different like sound effects. A good buddy of mine was doing that job for several years. And even before that, he was working at the there was a ballpark sports bar in left field behind the left field bleachers. And because he worked there, we were able to get a tour of the stadium a couple of weeks before it opened up back in 98. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, it was good that Hirano went over and gave it a shot.
Yeah.
But the Buffaloes are sure happy to have him back.
And without him, they don't make the Japan Series last year.
That's right. Again, it highlights the need for a really good closer. You need that kind of closer if you're going to go far in towards winning a championship.
And of course, you also need batters that consistently get on base, get hits, get RBIs, get home runs. Speaking of which, we were talking before a little bit just by name about Go Matsumoto, but he's having a career year for the Nippon Ham Fighters, batting .363 right now through Saturday. And he started his career in 2013. And since then, he's only played 100 games once in 2017 when he batted .274. He's roughly a .270 career hitter. So to be batting almost 100 points above that, you know, is very eye-opening. Do you think, Jim, that he's more relaxed playing for a manager like Big Boss Tsuyoshi Shinjo?
Yeah, I think definitely that has an impact. When I went up and covered the fighters up in Sapporo, you could definitely tell there's a very relaxed atmosphere on the team, and a player like Matsumoto, I think, is definitely benefiting from having a guy like Shinjo as his manager. I mean, batting 363, that's pretty impressive, and leading the league. And he's been leading the league in batting for a long time now.
Yeah, one thing he's done really well is just make contact. In through 206 at bats, he's only struck out 17 times through Saturday. So yeah, that's a pretty impressive ratio of not striking out.
Yeah, it really is. And another player on the Fighters who's having a great season is the youngster Chusei Manami. He's 22 years old. He's got 10 homers, 28 RBIs, mm-hmm. and he's just in his second season with the Fighters. Actually, he played two games in 2019, but he's having a great season. And I think, again, it goes back to Shinjo creating a relaxed atmosphere for these players in which they can thrive. And it's good to see. I mean, they're not going to win the Japan Series this year, and they may not even get into the postseason.
Do you think they can move out of last place? Do you think they could finish surprisingly in fifth or fourth this year?
I think there's a chance. The season is still young. They've got a record of 22-35 right now.
Yeah.
And Lotte is 24-32. So it's possible.
Something to keep an eye on, just the level of consistency or lack thereof as the season progresses.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Shinjo can do with that team coming out of Interleague. They haven't really played that well in Interleague. They're 4-8, which is 11th overall. They're not the worst, though. That would belong to Hiroshima. They're 3-9.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Have you noticed anything recently, I haven't, that would be another sort of level of quirkiness or just super unusual things that Shinjo has done in the last couple of weeks beyond what he previously, like the lineup is always unpredictable, or, you know, like sitting atop that sort of special ladder kind of contraption, watching batting practice?
Yeah. I mean, he's always got something up his sleeve. And as far as I know, he's still sitting on top of that ladder to watch batting practice. But I haven't really noticed anything unusual in the recent weeks.
Yeah, it seems like this sort of things are sort of settling into a rhythm now, where what was unexpected before is now just the norm.
Yeah, and I think there was all this talk about him before the season started. But now that we're actually into the season and he's got to go about the business of trying to get his team to win games. Mm-hmm. And so maybe some of the antics and playing to the crowd, he's not doing as much of that anymore. Mm-hmm. And he's more concerned with figuring out a way to get the Fighters a few more wins here and there.
Seems to be like the right approach there, the right target.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in your notebook, Jim, you wrote a little bit about former MLB closer Roberto Osuna, who has been attracting attention from the Chibolote Marines, according to Nikon Sports. They're interested in signing him. Osuna's a former AL saves leader going back a couple years. He also was charged with assaulting his girlfriend in 2018, but the charges were dropped when she decided not to testify against him. Having said that, do you think MLB teams are more cautious? I'm sorry, do you think NPB, Nippon Professional Baseball teams, are more cautious in trying to sign players with baggage or legal troubles, or even, you know, what amounted to possible legal troubles, than MLB teams?
Well, I definitely think so. you know, Osuna, he landed with the Houston Astros after he left the Jays. He was a fan favorite in Toronto. They loved him there because he was a great closer. But then he went to Houston, and Houston is a team, as you know, they've had a few other issues over the years.
Stealing signs.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
For example.
Yeah, for example. So he found a home in Houston. But I think it'd be kind of tough for him to end up here in Japan, given his baggage. You know, Japanese teams are kind of reluctant to sign players who've got a history like that. So I'd be surprised to see him signed here. What do you think?
You know, like you mentioned a moment ago, though, the Lotte Marines are in fifth place. And sometimes the different teams, you know, different front offices, they're thinking about how are we going to win games, right? So sometimes if a team is not doing well, I think they're more likely to shake things up and go for a player who might even be sort of marginal on other teams' sort of wish list.
Yeah, and this is a guy who's got 155 saves. So, I mean, he would definitely help. He would help the Marines. And as I said earlier, you got to have a good closer if you're going to win.
But one thing, you know, one thing that he has going for him in terms of being somebody that a team might want or a hot commodity, so to speak, he is only 27 years old. So as a pitcher, that's still pretty darn young.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still got a lot of years ahead of him, I would think.
If he was 35 or more, I think the likelihood of him getting signed are a lot less.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're definitely interested in him, and he played in the Mexican League last year. So, yeah, I mean, it's possible we could see him here in Japan.
Jim, one guy that we sort of followed quite closely last year in his return to Japan after 7 years in the majors was Masahiro Tanaka, who, of course, started his career with the Eagles up in Sendai and then came back after his you know, special run with the Yankees all those years. And then he played with the Olympic team last year as well. How do you think he's handling the second season with being back in MPB?
Well, I think he's settling in, and he was kind of shaky last year in his first year back in Japan. The results, I don't think were what he was expecting or what the team was expecting. And even from the very first game last year when he came back, I think it was obvious that he had lost something, and the Japanese batters were catching up to his fastball. But he's looking a lot better this year. He's got a 1.96 ERA. He's 4-4 for the Rakuten Eagles, you know, so, which is not bad. So he's looking a lot better this year. And I think it was just a case of settling in and getting acclimated back with Japanese baseball.
Yeah. When you talk about acclimation, it refers, of course, to the teammates that he's in the lineup with every day or every starting day. But also it's, you know, figuring out ways to fool batters. Some of them he had never faced before. Learning the tendencies of the players and the way opposing teams attack him. It's sort of a new, it's a big process.
It is. And the guy's 34 years old. So, I mean, he's no spring chicken. He doesn't have the fastball that he used to have. So he's got to figure out ways to get batters out. And I think he's done a pretty good job of that so far this year.
Yeah, he looks like he could be on target for maybe 13 or so wins, something like that, 13, 14 wins, if things go successfully, which is a pretty solid performance.
Yeah, I think that's well within reach for him. I mean, he's already got 55 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. So he's doing well, and I think that 13 wins is something that's attainable for him. Mm.
Another thing that I wanted to point out was the fact that this weekend, the Swallows swept the Cebu Lions, and they lead the Central League in the standings by 3 games over the Giants. So I think what we're seeing this year is that from last year and the previous year, when the Swallows went from worst to first to winning the title, now that they are in first again, they're showing that last year was no fluke and that, you know, they're built to be a contender again in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, they're off to a great start. They're 35-20. They're actually 4 games ahead of the Giants now.
Oh, four, after, right.
After today's game. So, yeah, there's a lot of talent on that team. And I expect they'll continue to play well, and they'll battle with the Giants for the entire season, I would think. You're starting to get some space in the Central League in between first and third. The Hiroshima Carp has fallen off quite a bit through Interleague. So it's really looking to me like it's going to be the Swallows and the Giants battling in the Central League for the rest of the summer.
And we look at the Pacific League standings through yesterday. You have the Hawks. The Hawks are in first place, followed by the Eagles, 1.5 games back. And then the Buffaloes are 6 games behind first place.
Yeah, so it's kind of a similar story there, right? You've got two teams, SoftBank and Rakuten, mm-hmm. that look like they're starting to run away or move away from the pack, and it's probably going to come down to those two teams. Of course, the team that finishes third gets in the playoffs.
Yeah, so you have the Buffaloes. Buffaloes are 6 games back, and then the Lions are 7 games back. So those two are going to be battling it out, unless the Marines and Fighters can climb up.
Yeah, yeah. And once they're in the playoffs, anything can happen. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Yakult win another Japan Series championship this year. With the talent they have on that team, it's not out of the question.
Was there anything that I didn't bring up so far that you wanted to highlight or talk about for a couple minutes, Hugh?
No, I think we've covered pretty much everything. We've had a pretty good chat, covered all the bases, I think.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining in today with me and Jim Armstrong. Please follow our baseball coverage at japanforward.com and on SportsLook, our sports website connected to Japan Forward. This podcast will be archived on Spotify and Google, Apple, and other platforms. And please join in and listen in regularly. Thanks again, everybody, and have a good day and a good week.